The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. St. Jerome, who was one of the early church fathers, and he was also a great scripture scholar, he tells the story that when St. John was an elderly man in Ephesus, living in a cave with a few disciples, every Sunday his closest followers would bring him down to the throngs of people who were gathered together for the Sunday Eucharist. And it was when it was time for John to preach, the crowds would huddle close around him because in his old age, his voice had become quite faint. But every week, John would seem to be preaching on the same subject, which could be summarized, "Little children, love one another." And eventually, one of his young disciples who was carrying him to and from the Eucharist asked him, "Don't you ever tire of preaching on the same subject?" And St. John's response to the accusation that he was, in effect, a broken record, said this, "Son, I never tire of proclaiming it because the Master never tired of proclaiming it. And if you do it and really love one another, you do it all." Now, perhaps one of the reasons why both Jesus and his beloved disciple John were constantly preaching on these simple words was because perhaps they recognized how hard it is for us to keep this ideal, to love one another day in and day out, as each of us knows, is not easy. And perhaps a better reason is because God, who is love and who made each one of us in his image, he wants us to become who we really are. He wants us to become more and more human. And the only way we can do that is through this dynamic of love. Another reason is that without loving one another, you and I can immeasurably harm the work of Christ, the work of the body of Christ. And Jesus once said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Love has to be, of course, the mark of Christians, because love is the mark of Christ. And if we do not love one another, if we do not put this command of the Lord into practice, we are not only hypocrites, but we are scandalizers. And rather than us manifesting the face of Christ, we obscure the reality of Christ. And one of the greatest causes for unbelief in the world, of course, is the bad example of so many folks who say they are Christians. You know that Pope Benedict, you've heard it from me, is always reminding us that at the foundation of our faith is our personal realization of God's unmerited love for each one of us. And now today's readings, it's interesting, the three readings together, they focus on three movements of love. The first one is God the Father's love for God the Son. The second one is the love of God the Son for each one of us. And then the third movement, the third part of this dynamic, is our love for one another. And Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Live in my love. You will live in my love if you keep my commandments. My commandment to you is this: love one another as I have loved you. So Jesus is the standard. In other words, just as the Father has loved Jesus and Jesus has loved us, that's the standard by which we actually are to love one another. Remember, God is love itself, the very essence of what love is. You and I are made in his image, and we're called to love others as he has loved us. Now, another thing we learn in all this, I think, is equally important: how loved we are by God. And I think that most of us could spend the rest of our lives kind of pondering this amazing reality. And almost all of us, I speak for myself, would have to wonder, does Jesus really know the true situation in my heart? And remember, love is not primarily a feeling. Love is a choice. Love is an act of our will. It's one of the things that makes us human, that we have a will. Love is giving ourselves, even sacrificing ourselves for others. And Jesus Christ loves us, and he's given over everything he is to save us. He told us in today's gospel, there is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, which is what he's done for us. This is Christ's new commandment, and it's, of course, at the heart of his new covenant. Now, the first step in putting this commandment into practice is to actually allow God to love us, to allow ourselves every day to be in childlike awe of this reality, a reality which is with us every day of our lives, even despite any kind of sin that comes into our lives, despite any kind of suffering that comes into our lives, and it can be something that lasts a long time. To be able to love others, to be willing to sacrifice for them, you and I think, have to have the experience ourselves of being loved, of knowing that we are loved. The experience of just allowing ourselves to be in childlike awe of this reality. But we can also be like some teenagers who no longer want their parents to kiss them in public. We can resist God's love. We can wallow in self-pity, in self-hatred. We can fall into hatred for God when we have to put up with some unwelcome suffering. And in all of this, we're essentially refusing to allow God into a darkness that we have surrounded ourselves in. When we're nitpicky, grumpy, bitter, sad, depressed, we probably are not in love. Now, St. Paul gave us a great index about those who experience and reciprocate love. And I think probably everybody here has heard this at weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes in all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. So just as Christ received his Father's love and then loved you and me with the same intensity, you and I need to experience God's love so that we can fully and appropriately love others. And like St. John seemed to repeat things over and over again in his Sunday homilies, so we can say that we too have to constantly be reminded to meditate on this same reality at the very heart, at the very foundation of our Catholic faith. Now, the real test for us is not simply to be able to make the claim that we don't hate someone, but rather whether we would be willing to substantially inconvenience ourselves or sacrifice ourselves for those in need. Even if we don't really like those persons, it might be someone who's troublesome even at home, at work, in the cafeteria, someone driving on the street or wherever. And a good measure of our love, for that matter, a good measure of our obedience to God is whether we will keep our commitments, whether we will keep persevering in the vocation, in the duties, in the responsibilities, in the particular situation we might be in at any time. St. John tells us today that the only way to remain in God's love is to love the Lord's will and to do His will, just as He, Jesus, kept His Father's commandments and remains in the Father's love. So you and I will want always to follow God's will, not our own fancies, inconsistent with God's will. Every disciple of Jesus Christ knows, for example, that marriage is not an invention of politicians. Shameless politicians obviously may not presume to invent their own idea of marriage and then claim their Christian faith or even their Catholic faith supports their invention. Politicians may not mindlessly and without being called to account create a very nice, affirming, and hippie Jesus, a fellow who would approve of their marriage innovations. Brothers and sisters, where did marriage come from? Who instituted marriage? Marriage was instituted by God. Marriage involves a lifelong union between just one man and one woman. Jesus presents marriage as part of the order of creation itself. Guess what, brothers and sisters? Polygamy is not marriage. Marriage does not involve people and animals. Marriage is not about two or three or even four people of the same sex. Politicians looking for votes will not change that reality. Marriage is not about public opinion. Marriage is not about how you or I may feel about it. Marriage is about God. Marriage is about God's will. Marriage is about God's plan, about the order of creation itself. Mature, conscientious Christians will always seek to follow God's will in the matter of marriage and in every other matter. Sacramental marriage between one man and one woman for life is non-negotiable. Marriage is about our common responsibility in love to God our Father, to be faithful to Him. Every disciple of Jesus Christ knows this truth. The people who long ago built this parish church of St. Mary, they knew this truth. Every disciple of Jesus Christ seeks to be faithful to this truth and so to remain in the Father's love. The future of the church hinges, as Pope Benedict has written in his encyclical, God is Love, on whether, like St. Thérèse of Lisieux, you and I can each be love in the heart of the church. And you and I have the vocation to live this reality. It is not easy, but Jesus calls us his friends. We are not his slaves and will remain his friends if we do what he commands us. He's commanded you and me to do all this in memory of him. And in our entering into the Eucharist in a few minutes from now, to enter into that greatest act of love the world has ever known.